It's the MC's Country Cafe Coaches Show with Jeff Blankman.
Yeah. And good morning, everybody, and welcome down here to the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show. Jeff Blankman, as it just said, with you here today. We'll be talking with Chad Klein, the head football coach for the Cameron Knights, about their big, big win over at Greene County last night. We'll also be joined here in a little bit by Danny McCartan, the head coach for the Carroll Tigers, about their nice victory last night over there on the road against a good South Central Calhoun ball club. And we'll hear from the volleyball coaches, Keith Stickrod and Kelly Schultz. We'll talk a little girls swimming with Deb Danner, and we'll talk cross country as well with Keith Henderson, as the Kemper Cross Country team's got their season underway on Thursday. But let's start off with a look at the scores from last. And we'll start off in Class 3A District 7, where the Carroll Tigers pick up a big victory, 56-20, against number 4-ranked South Central Calhoun last night. It was a 21-20 ball game at the halftime. Tigers really dominating the second half. Elsewhere in the district, it was ADM falling to Dallas Center Grimes at 35-12. Boone lost to Creston, as Creston Orient Maxburg wins at 28-7. Atlantic down Clarinda 16-14. Denison Slushwick fell to Council Bluffs Thomas Jefferson 43-24. Glenwood, highly ranked Glenwood, they're anywhere inside the top five, depending on what poll you look at it. They won 41-0. It was Winterset over Bondurant Farrar. Bondurant Farrar won over Winterset 24-21. And it was Lewis Central rolling past Harlan last night 45-13. Moving now down to Class 2A, District 7. Kemper again in an impressive 34-0 victory over Greene County last night. It was Esac County falling to IKM Manning at 20-14. Southwest Valley defeated Red Oak 32-28. AHST of Oka Walnut got by Shenandoah 13-6 in overtime. It was Underwood over Trainer 35-7. And Southeast Valley got by Eagle Grove by a final of 45-6. Moving over now to Class 1A District 7, this is the IKM Manning District. Again, we reported their score here a moment as they defeated Esac County 20-14. Guthrie Center and Derek Casey lost last night to West Central Valley 19-12. Number 1 ranked Loma defeated by St. Albert at 23-6. It was Missouri Valley over Griswold at 28-0. Maple Valley Antinoto got by Tri-Center 28-21. Eight-man at District 8, number 1 Arweva goes down to Remsen St. Mary's 40-31. Coon Rapids Baird rolled at Newell Fonda 49-26. Audubon defeated Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton 38-32. It was Glidden Ralston losing last night at Grettinger Terre Ruthven Ashire 52-12. Clay Central Everly defeated Charter Oak Ute 30-28. Bowyer Valley blows out at Woodbine 71-22. Kingsley Pearson knocked off River Valley 40-18. And it was West Harrison over at Siouxland Christian by a final of 55-45. We'll step away, take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Carroll Tiger football with head coach Danny McCartan. That's coming up next right here on the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show.
Hi, this is Ken Pyre, and it's so great to be back. I'm happy to say I am with Team Auto Group in Denison, and I'm here to take care of all your vehicle needs. We carry the full lineup of Ford and Lincoln, as well as Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Also, we can meet all of your used car needs, and I can get any model you're looking for. So let me make you part of the winning team. For a great deal and the best service during and after the sale, contact me at Team Auto Group in Denison. Team Auto Group, team up today.
The world's full of cookie-cutter, plain-Jane restaurants. They line you up, herd you in, give you the bill, and get you out as soon as possible.
Hi, it's Della from Santa Maria Winery. You deserve so much more. You deserve the wonderful experience you will receive by visiting Santa Maria Winery. Whether you visit for a business lunch or a romantic dinner, the time you spend at Santa Maria Winery will create a memory you will relish until the day you return. We have something for everyone. Steaks, chicken, chops, salads, and wine. And don't forget about the desserts. Santa Maria Winery, great food, great wine, great time.
Well, the Carroll Tigers go on the road last night up to Lake City to take on a good South Central Calhoun team, and they come away with a convincing 56-20 victory, a dominating second half, outscoring them 35-0 in the second half. But, Coach, you guys also got off to I guess you could call it a good start, but probably disappointing on the opening kickoff. You take it for a touchdown, it gets called back for a penalty, but you still turn that possession into a touchdown anyway.
Yeah, we were just actually literally talking about that in the coach's office, and I said everybody was yelling, screaming, winding their hands, and I just happened to be right by the ref that dropped the flag, and I was like, oh, that's coming back. So, but, we did turn into seven anyway. anyway, so I guess it worked out.
Got to be happy with the way I thought Dylan showed some great patience, kind of letting that wall get set up, and then the wall set up pretty nicely for him on that opening kickoff.
Oh, most definitely. You know, he was very patient. You know, he's got that sprinter speed, but he just kind of waited and saw it develop and then just hit the sideline and he was gone. You know, that's a beauty of being out for track.
Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't look like he caught it around the 8 or 10, if I remember right. I don't think he kicked it into gear until about the 30 because of that patience. That was happening kind of right there in front of us. But, again, opening drive after that, you guys started, and you guys cruised right down the field. Didn't have much problem really running the football on that first drive.
No, and we, you know, we knew we'd get good line spacing, and we wanted to, you know, establish trap, veer, power, and those are the things we were running and also option. And it worked out to our benefit. And actually, in 2020 hindsight, it probably was too easy, too smooth because, you know, the first two drives, and then I think we kind of sat back a little bit.
You guys actually moved on that first drive down the field kind of with a run, then spread things out and threw it a little bit more when you got inside the red zone.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where, they went into a five-man front when we were in our tight end package, and so we thought, okay, we'll spread out and see what they did. And so, tried to throw the shorter, quicker routes.
You mentioned the first two drives, second time they go three plays and out. You guys get it back. Again, you go from your own 23. It took you just a couple of plays. Ethan Rummel rambles in from 4 yards out, puts you up 14-0 early in the ballgame. And I think a lot of people at that time thought, uh-oh, this one could get ugly early. But South Central able to kind of battle back, yeah.
Well, you know, Coach Case does a great job up there, and he's got some tough-nosed kids. And so that's, you know, you can't, like I said, I think we might have laid off the foot or the gas pedal a little bit as a team, you know, mentally, and you can't do that. You know, they were ranked number 4 in the state for a reason. They got some good kids and some, you know, explosive kids, and they're just, like I said, they're a well-coached team, and he's, you know, won state championships, so they know what they're doing.
I was going to say, just kind of some mental errors for you guys has kind of hindered some drives and stuff like that there in that second quarter.
Yeah, most definitely. A lot of penalties and just, you know, little things. Shot ourselves in our own foot. So, you know, but you gotta give credit to them. They did some nice things too, and they took advantage of it. And we had some mental lapses on defense. You know, just their quarterback threw some balls up there that should have been picked, and we just sort of watched him get caught. And so, well, that's not going to work very well. But it's the first game, jitters, get stuff out of the way and move on.
I was going to say, I thought, looked like Austin Shirk and Soren Jensen early in the game, kind of dominating up front. Was that, I mean, I'm sure the other guys were making plays too, but those guys seemed to be the ones in the backfield quite a bit early, especially Shirk.
Yeah, you know, and Austin's just, he's really had a great offseason, you know, hit the weight room hard, came to all the power stuff that we did, and really uses the leverage that he's got with those big long arms of his. And Soren, same way. Soren has some extremely long arms, and he uses them to his advantage.
And it looked like they adjusted a little bit in the second quarter, started getting their running game going a little bit. What did they change up on you guys?
You know, really, I think they just ran some plays that they found successful with and kept going back to them. We were talking to Coach Case after the game about, you know, what we thought was successful for them. And, you know, they're running the second back through, and then they run with the quarterback power is what we were calling it. And they were just nice plays, you know. They'd run through with that lead back and then bring the second guy through and had the offensive line crashing down. So they, you know, they were just playing physical football.
Cody Case, a guy that a lot of people talked about, hurt you a couple of times last night a little bit, but not really bad. But you guys defended him pretty well. Didn't see him on the field a whole lot in the second half. But how did you feel like you guys were able to kind of contain him?
You know, he's just dangerous, so you're not really going to contain him. You just want to limit the amount of success that he has, you know, and limit the big plays. And I thought we did that for the most part. But, you know, again, like you said earlier, we had a couple of really big mental lapses with him. It's like, you know, when he's the most – and Coach Case would be the first to tell you he's the best player on the team. And when he goes in motion, you might want to go with him just throwing it out there. And we didn't. One time I was like, oh, you guys – I'm not smart, but I know we might want to defend that kid.
Yeah, it was pretty open there for him to just kind of get out there into the corner. I thought guys defensively, Zach Promis, I thought those guys a lot of times did a terrific job of getting back in the passing plays and kind of tipping balls away. I remember the one time that the receiver caught it and Zach came in and just kind of knocked it away from him right over there on your guys' sidelines.
Yep, and that was a great job. You know, the linebacking coaches, you know, with Coach Nago and Coach Rowe, and then the D-backs with Coach Christensen really ran a lot of Skelly the last couple of weeks versus what we'd seen on film from South Central.
They're able to kind of get back into the ballgame. It goes 14-8. You go up 21-8. And then all of a sudden, they score 52 seconds left in the half. They go for two with the chance to take the lead. What did you guys say at halftime? Because you guys went from being in complete control of the game to all of a sudden maybe trailing at halftime to completely dominating the second half.
You know, we talked about that too. I'd love to say we had this, you know, we pontificated world problems and, you know, dropped some Mother Teresa or Buddha or, you know, Gandhi or something on, but and we didn't. You know, it was no Newt Rockne speech. We just said, you know, we've got, you know, we know what we're doing. It's the little things that we need to take care of, and just be confident in what we're doing. You know, we talked about the fact that we maybe lost a little confidence, started to question ourselves a little bit, and you know, every sport's a mental game, and we just had to get mentally back into it, and they had to trust themselves. You know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that's what we told them. We said, just we're going to do what we do. You're going to be fine, and we'll make plays.
I was going to say, offensive line, I thought, in the second half kind of reestablished themselves up front and allowed you guys to kind of get Ethan Rummel and Dayton Ross, who I thought had a great game last night offensively and defensively, really kind of came on in the second half.
Yeah, and then that's what we went back to. We just said, you know, this is what we do. You know, we're going to run trap. We're going to run veer. We're going to run power and read. And option was really good for us in the second half, and we moved some people around, got Dayton in the backfield more. Tanner Higgins came in and did a great job on the edge blocking. And we weren't quite sure if, you know, Ethan got dinged a little bit there, but came back strong. And so we just had tweaked up a few little things, but it wasn't anything, you know, earth-shattering.
They got the ball to start the second half right after almost taking that lead at halftime. How important was it? You guys just got them a three and out, didn't let them even that they didn't score, but you guys didn't let them get anything established to try and keep some of that momentum.
Oh, that was huge. You know, defense got a big three and out for us, and that was great. And I think, you know, if memory serves me correct, I think they had a penalty on the kickoff too,
yep.
So that pushed them back even further. And then we got the ball and were able to drive down the first couple drives and I think got ahead 35-20 or whatever it was, and you know, and then really started to establish ourselves.
What was the areas you were most happy with coming out of last night's game?
Well, I think you just getting through the first game, you know, finding out who can play, what we need to work on. I think that you got to see the kids out there in a real situation. We didn't get to scrimmage under the lights last week. You know, not too many people did. So the last time they really got after it was back in July when we went down to Central Team Camp. So we weren't quite sure, you know, what we got, what we don't. And so I think that more than anything, we just got to see our kids play.
I got a lot of kids in last night, too, there in the fourth quarter once you guys got up. Both teams really pretty subbed pretty frequently.
Yeah, you know, and that's the beauty of it. When you know, a game gets to the where it was that game, and Coach Case, you know, he's a class act all around, and he pulled a lot of his kids, and so we said, well, we need to pull ours. And so just the kids work hard all week in practice and all preseason. They deserve an opportunity to play under the lights on a Friday night.
Well, you guys get Heelan coming to town here next week. What's that matchup look like?
You know, we haven't seen anything on film, but they are Heelan, you know, and so we expect a great game. You know, obviously they're going to be prepared. They've got Clark back, and he's a phenomenal player. He gave us the business last year, and I'm sure they're going to be ready to go. I saw that they beat East last night, Sioux City East, so they're a quality opponent, and that's why we wanted to play them.
Anything last night in your district surprise you?
You know, honestly, Jeff, I don't know. We've looked at a few of the scores. I saw Atlantic beat Clarinda, and but besides that, you know what? We once you see him on film, we'll know a little more.
All right. Well, Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to talking to you midweek about that game against Healy.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Head Coach Danny McCartan again with the Carroll Tigers. We'll step away, take a break. We'll flip our focus over to the Kemper Knights. We'll talk about their win over Greene County. But Chad Klein coming up next here on the MC Country Cafe Coach's Show.
Dead legs, and they'll be...
Hi, this is Mark of MC's Country Cafe. I've had the privilege of serving this area homemade comfort food for over 20 years. I would like to thank everyone who's helped in making my vision a success. MC's Country Cafe has had a full menu of delicious homemade meals for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You'll always receive fast, friendly service. Stop in and experience that old-fashioned comfort food or order breakfast any time of the day. MC's Country Cafe, no gimmicks, just good food. Located Highway 30 East.
Pizza Ranch in Carroll is proud of the U.S. men and women in uniform. They thank you and your families for the sacrifices you've made to defend our freedom. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return. Pizza Ranch thanks you for your service, our true American heroes.
Midwest Wholesale Building Products wants to thank all of the men and women in our armed forces that fight so hard for our freedom every day. We are proud to honor those who are dedicated to protecting the United States of America. Midwest Wholesale proudly salutes our troops and veterans.
We welcome you back down here to the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show again now every Saturday morning all the way through the end of the basketball season. We'll take a little time off for you guys at Thanksgiving, and I'll take some time off at Christmas. But again, you can tune in. You can join us down here on Saturday mornings as well. But let's turn our focus over now to the Kemper Knights. Knew they were going to be a good football team this year. They went out and proved it last night, 34-0 against Greene County. And head coach Chad Klein now joining us. And coach, I tell you what, got to be happy with that one last night.
Definitely, we came out, did what we wanted to do, executed well. Kids came out, played with a lot of heart. And so, yeah, definitely it was a great start for our season.
Quick start for you guys last night?
Yeah, I believe it was second play. I believe we broke, Miles Rupriver broke through the left side, bounced out, and I believe it was like a 52-yard run after a three and out from our defense. Did a great job, got us in great field position, and then from there we got that big burst, and that really got things rolling for us.
I was going to say, sounded like Miles had a pretty good night on the ground last night.
Yeah, from the stats, I kind of pieced together a little bit. I run 150-some yards, three touchdowns, a couple big touchdown runs out of that.
What set him off? Was it just the guys up front? Because I know you were really wanting to kind of establish that run game. So was it up front just kind of dominating?
Yeah, the guys up front. You know, if you look at Cole Halber, Tucker Beckman, or Tucker Vanami. Sorry, I do that all the time. Tucker Vanami, Nate Becker, Jack Simons, and Michael Moore give us great line work. Plus, you know, we throw a tight end with Colton Earlbeck, and those guys handled up front all night long for us, did a great job, new blocking schemes, things like that, and we were really impressed with how they did last night.
And I was going to say, a couple of big plays it sounded like for them, that means blocking downfield well as well.
Yeah, and then our receivers, you know, you go back to a few plays, there was even the running back, the fullback getting out of the backfield was running all the way down. We had a couple plays where we got the corner, and all of a sudden, you know, one, I think Vaughn ran as far, you know, blocking his guy as Miles did with the ball. So, but yeah, the guys played with a great team effort, and they're unselfish about what they had to do last night.
Jumped up 7-0 right away. How did you guys kind of play after that, and when were you able to kind of build on that lead?
You know, it kind of worked out all night for us. I don't know, we would get a big play. Greene County every once in a while would all of a sudden they get into maybe a third and long or a third and down situation several times throughout the night. Either had a bad snap or a mishandle of the ball, things like that. So we really got a lot of breaks there. We had a couple picks. Gage and Parker Bating each had picks in the night. So great opportunities, put us in great field position where we could really keep them off the field, and our offenses, even though we weren't, maybe didn't score on drives, we were able to keep their offense off the field and just kind of move the ball around a little bit, eat up clock.
What was the score at the halftime? Was it 14-0?
Somewhere, maybe 21, somewhere in there. I knew we had points.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was happy on the defensive side. We didn't have give up any at that point. So
I was going to say, we're going to talk about the defense here in a second. Let's talk about them right now then. You got the three and out on the first possession. Sounded like they didn't let Greene County move the football very much.
Yeah, we flowed very well. You know, they threw a few different sets that we hadn't really repped really well. The kids adjusted, you know, they kind of trusted their keys. Kind of, and I thought they did a great job working it out kind of themselves a little bit. Hey, we hadn't seen a quad set. How are we going to adjust? And they kind of adjusted themselves real quick on the fly. You know, we hadn't worked a lot against a jet look from Greene County, but the kids did a great job of adjusting, being coachable on the sideline when they came off. And Everett stayed calm, and that, I think, made a huge stride for what we needed to do on the sideline defensively.
I got to ask you, you talk about making those adjustments on the sideline. Half of your defensive guys or more are probably out there on the offensive end as well. So how quickly are you having to make those adjustments with those guys?
You know, we're finding the few guys that are coming off, and we're saying, hey, when you go back out there, tell him this. So they're like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. No, and the problem is we're sending sophomores out there to tell the juniors and seniors what to do. So they, you know, and they're trying to get their eyes and every mind focused. And it was our first Friday night, and you know, the moment, you know, it took a little bit, you know, to get those first big hits out of the way, and you could see them really settle in. And we were impressed of how they came through for us.
I was going to say, it's got to be, it says a lot about your team at the communication level when you can have sophomores coming off the sideline telling juniors and seniors what to do, and they're doing it.
Yeah, and that's nice.
Coach, what really stood out for you overall with the defense last night? Could you guys pitch to shut out? Did you give up many yards at all?
Here and there, but, you know, they went with the bend but don't break theory. You know, we'd give up a little bit, took advantage of some, to know the opportunity to get turnovers and things like that. But I thought, you know, just the swarm mentality. You saw guys flying to the ball, really laying some wood on some hits. I thought, you know, we went through and had a few injuries going into the game. Carter Wittrock didn't play due to an injury in our defensive backfield. And so we had guys subbing in and out. It was a little humid night, so cramps were starting to set in, things like that. Plus, with guys going both ways. So I thought guys that we were subbing in and out, we didn't miss a beat. You know, you didn't notice all of a sudden that we had maybe had a second or third string corner in there all of a sudden, and everything looked fine. Everybody flowed. Communication was good. And so I think I really was impressed with how our defense played last night. And then we get to the end of the game. It's 4th and 1 with 10 seconds to go. Our JV unit's in and against their varsity, and we get a hold. So they really got a great experience there for them to get some varsity experience.
Who came up with that big play then on that 4th and 1?
There's a lot of guys there. probably one of the bigger parts of it. You know, you see the tackle, but there was a DN had given us a great push up the front. Our film wasn't real great, so I had to go find a way to get some different film to go look at it. But, yeah, it was a great play. You know, it was exciting. It's a great moment for them just to get that varsity experience and get on the field and say, hey, yeah, I can do this.
You guys get the chance in the second half then with the offense to kind of open things up a little bit, maybe try some things that you think you might need in district, or did you stay pretty much pat with what the game plan was as you guys built on that lead?
We mostly stayed with what was within the game plan. At that point we felt really comfortable with what we were doing. We were getting what we wanted. We wanted, you know, we were looking for 3, 4, 5 yards at a time, and then every once in a while we'd break it, and that's what we were getting all night long. We kind of kept quite a few things in the back pocket because we had some opponents coming up and you don't want to show too much early in film. So, and we were right then at that point, everything was what we wanted was working. So we're not going to change it.
Well, one of those opponents, St. Albert, coming up for you Friday night. You guys make the trip down to Council Bluffs. They got a win over a Logan last night. Logan Magnolia, a team that many thought might be in that top five, maybe number one in one bowl in Class A. So that's a good win for them. I know they were young last year. A lot of guys back. I can't think of the name of the quarterback down there, but his brother was the quarterback at Kansas State.
Yep,
Bill Waters. Jake Waters' brother. What do they look like this year?
You know what? We're going to get some film today and get a chance to watch. I'm guessing from everything I've heard and kind of doing a little bit of research is, you know, we're not going to see massive size for bodies, but you're going to get
a lot of
athletes on the field. So that'll be the thing to look for. Otherwise, I mean, from everything I've talked to other coaches and things, it's going to be in the quarterback's hands. The Waters kid's, he's an athlete. He's really good from everything I've seen on film. So it's a matter of containing him and making sure, letting somebody else try to make plays on their team. But I like how we match up for us. So
I was going to say, I think he's just a sophomore, a junior.
Junior
this year. So, all right. Well, Coach, I tell you what, appreciate you winning. With that win last night, appreciate you joining us. Congrats on the win. Look forward to talking to you midweek about that game coming up against St. Albert.
Oh, hopefully I'll know more by then.
Absolutely. I'm sure you will.
Oh, sure.
We'll step away, take a break. We'll come back. The Kemper volleyball team open up the season Thursday night with a win against the Carroll Tigers. Keith Stickrod will take us through that game coming up next right here on the MC Country Cafe Coach Show.
Manning Regional Healthcare Center would like to salute all of the men and women of our armed forces. Past and present service members, you've all sacrificed so much for our great nation. Thank you for protecting our freedom from everyone at Manning Regional Healthcare Center.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back here to the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show. Jeff Blankman joined right now by head coach Keith Stickron from the Kemper Knights. They pick up a victory on Thursday night up at Carroll, winning 3-0. 25-12, 25-12 in games 1 and 3, 25-17 sandwich there in game number 2. And, Coach, we talked that night after the game, and I thought it was funny because I asked you what stood out for you. I knew what the answer was going to be, serving. That was a huge part of your win the other night. Now that you've had some time to kind of look back and reflect a little bit on it, you still that pleased with how you served on Thursday night?
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, like you said, the other night, you get there and Abby Lorman gets back and she's having a nice serve. We have Kaylee Peter who's been serving well, too. So, yeah, overall, just very pleased with serving. You know, there was a few points in there early on. I thought we missed somewhere. It's like, really? But, you know, we overcame that. And I think overall, very good serving. You know, very happy as a coach.
Quick start in game one, got up 8-1. Carroll rallied back. I think the closest they got, if I remember right, was 14-9. And then you guys just kind of took control of the match. Was it just Carroll settling in, or do you think maybe your girls kind of was like, okay, we're up 8-1, and the intensity level dipped just a little?
You know, it's this game. You know, every year it's this way. I just think it's more so, you know, Carroll's starting to play a little better, and we were just kind of more relaxed, a little bit of combination of both. No, it's something I think we just got to learn as a team is just when we're up, just can continue on. You know, that's hard to do as an athlete sometimes is just get going, keep going, stay in that high tempo.
Happy with the way they closed that first game out, though, after that little run by Carroll?
Oh, exactly, yeah. I mean, we had a nice run, you know, 25-12. You know, it's a very good win for us. You know, what can I say? It's a nice solid win, big crowd, and we all have support here, so it was awesome.
We talked about the serve, the hitting I thought was pretty effective for you at times. You had some hitters hit extremely well, Amy Adams, both the Peters girls, and I could probably list off about five more. You even got Abby Lorham in some swings out on the outside as well. But overall, especially there early in the match, how did you think you guys were hitting, and were you hitting the zones you were trying to attack?
You know, I just tell them to swing away. You know, Amy Adams has a nice reach on her, a nice straight arm attack, and she just goes at it. And, you know, she had 9 kills tonight, hitting 600. I mean, she won air. Kara Peters, I don't think she had an error that night, if I recall that. I mean, just as a freshman coming in, you know, I was one person look back and going, how's she going to be, you know, just that first game, Carroll game and all that stuff. And she just was outstanding, you know. I mean, her and her sister, I think they push each other and they feed each other, and it's nice to see that.
You talked a little bit about Kara. How special does she have a chance to be?
Oh, I mean, this is the beginning, you know, game one, being nervous and all that stuff out there and look at her performance. I mean, so, you know, as a coach, I can sit there and go, you know, give me more.
Talk to you as well on Thursday night. Game two, you guys jumped up again, and then all of a sudden, Kara went on a run, tied at 11-11. But your team really showed some resiliency. All of a sudden, jumped back up. I think it was a 5-0 run to get up 16-11. Never really looked back in game two after that.
Yeah, you know, I'm out there trying to make sure I didn't call a timeout. I'm trying to make sure the girls out there run the court. It's their team. I was very nice to see that Abby Lorman, our center, she stepped back and served receive. We're struggling at the time, and then things change right away. You know, that's what it takes is, you know, a leader out there to step up and make those decisions, you know, because as a coach, you practice that stuff at practice that you want them to own the team, and I think they did that very well. And it maybe took us a little too long to make that adjustment. We made a few of them, and then we got through it. So, you know, they got us to keep working on making quicker adjustments.
You brought up a part of the game that I think could be huge for you guys this year. Everybody knows about how good you're going to serve and about how good you're going to hit, how good you're going to block. Your serve receive is going to be important for you because with all the weapons that you have, you get the ball up to Abby in good shape. She's got so many kids to choose from.
Yeah, Taylor Promise came in there tonight, or the other night, and she was 268 hitting passing percentage. So, you know, ultimately, 3 is your goal. I mean, so 268 is fantastic. I set as a team goal 200 or better, 225. I'd love to have a team, but that's rare. And she is at 268, so 269. So it was awesome. I mean, very well passing.
Sometimes you'll see a team get up 2-0 and there's a little bit of a relax going into game 3. That did not happen with you guys. You guys really kind of put game 3 away early.
Yeah, you just never know as a coach too. It's, you know, it isn't like basketball. You start the third quarter and you're still up by 20. We had to start over 0-0. And yeah, it was very nice of us, you know, but we got nice serving going on, and you know, Madeline Wagner came out and served a couple, and then of course Abby Lorman got back in there and served hers too. So yeah, it's just a nice combination.
Coach, early start to the season now with this one. What's the next couple of weeks look like for you guys, and where do you feel like that first real test could be?
this was a real test. I mean, it was an emotional test, you know, and we worked on that emotional part of it. So this game is definitely the emotional part. Next week, we go to Thursday night. We go to Red Oak and, you know, talk about a tough place to play in is Red Oak. Always a scrappy team. I just wish our conference had an easy team in there, but we just don't have it. So it's going to be every one of them. And I think people are expecting things from us, and they're going to come play their best game against us. And we just got to outshine them. And if we can do what we did against Carroll, I mean, I'd be pleased all season.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, appreciate you joining us here this morning. Wish you the best of luck down there Thursday, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yeah, it should be a fun season, and thanks for covering us.
You bet. Head Coach Keith Sticker on again. We'll step away more from MC's next here on 1380 KCIM.
Join me as I prepare a collection of cherished family recipes passed through generations.
Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
We're back here at the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show. Jeff Blankman joined right now by Carroll Tiger head volleyball coach Kelly Schultzen. Coach, appreciate you joining us here today.
No, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. You guys opened up the season Thursday night at home. A young Tiger team as far as experience-wise, taking on a pretty experienced Kemper team that came in ranked number 3. You guys fell 3-0 in that game. But you and I kind of talked after the match and stuff and talked this morning as well that, you know, now that you've had some time to reflect, there were many positive things that came out of the night for the Tigers.
Yeah, I think there is. There's some words of encouragement. I have for the girls that, you know, I saw some glimpses of really good play. I really did. And that's pretty good to see at the very beginning of the season. Just got on, Kemper got on some runs there that we would make our own mistakes. We didn't put the ball over in their court. So, but it's all fixable. That's what we talked about at the end of the night, that this can be fixed. This isn't our team the way it's going to be all season long. And so they were encouraged and ready to get after it. Practice and then this weekend.
You mentioned, you know, you saw some positive things. What were some of the areas of the match on Thursday that you felt good about?
Sometimes we could pick up the ball and scramble a little bit, keep the ball in play. I thought at times we did that. I did see some good hits that we were able to get over a pretty big block there at the beginning of the first set and second set. So those are some good things to see.
And you mentioned that Kemper block.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to see many teams, except for maybe in some tournaments, that have blocks probably like they do. Talk about the adjustments that your kids made. They're trying to get around and work against that block.
Yeah, we worked on that in practice, hitting around a blocker. I just told them to keep their focus on the ball, though, when they're hitting, and don't worry about that block. But then they could hit it off their hands, kind of off the side. That's what they did. They tried, but sometimes when you get triple blocked by 6-foot girls, that can be, kind of difficult for us. But I think we handled it well. The areas to improve on are definitely our serve receive, and you know, if we improve our passing, then our hitting will get better too.
Absolutely. Talk about what happened. I mean, Kemper's a good serving team. Abby Lorman had a lot of aces last year, but 8 against you the other night.
Yeah.
What was effective for them, and what do you guys got to adjust maybe as far as getting better on serve-receive?
You know, in practice, we've been really working on our footwork for passing and getting to the ball. You know, maybe, I don't know, I don't like to really give excuses. First game jitters, it just felt like we just froze. Weren't moving our feet to get to the ball. Then you just see those shanks and reaching out, falling to the ground. That really wasn't typical of our practices that we were having. I think we have pretty decent servers, so in practice we serve hard at each other. So it wasn't anything like a surprise that we were getting hard serves at us, because that's what we do in practice. So that's definitely going to be a focus for us to improve on is serve receive, because that's where it all begins.
Coach, you mentioned nerves. Coach Stickrod the other night after the match as well kind of mentioned, you know, this match, this Carroll Kemper match, there's just something about it.
Yeah.
How difficult is it, do you think, for the players to be relaxed early on in a match like this?
Yeah, that's tough. It's the very first game, and it's the Carroll Kemper match. I mean, that gym last night was packed, which is awesome. That was an awesome atmosphere for girls' sport. And just the loudness and just knowing who we're playing. I mean, they know the girls over on the other side. They know us. We see each other during the summer. So, yeah, it just adds a little bit of a different game than we will see later on that we play. It feels good to get that one done, not going to lie.
Absolutely. I understand that. I certainly do. You mentioned the triple block here a little bit ago. I know I heard one of the girls, it was Marissa Tuning, talking about how Taylor Moore was getting triple blocked in the middle last night. That's a good sign for Taylor, because that says that teams kind of know that she's got that ability to hurt them, that if they're focusing three girls on trying to kind of shut her down a little bit.
Yeah. I've been really enjoying watching her during our scrimmages, beginning of practice. She's got some power, some strength, some ups. Definitely can get up and hit the ball in the middle, and she will be an effective middle for us.
And then you mentioned the other night, Gina Meshark had a nice night for you. Talk about her and then some of the other kids that you felt like played well.
Yeah, Gina had positive hitting for the night. That was awesome. There were some tough blocks on her, too, and she was able to hit it and right through their blocks. And eliminated her own hitting errors, so that was great. She's like our go-to. You can just feel that way. And Maddie Roeder, it's her first year setting as a varsity. That's going to be pretty tough falling. You think of setters at Shelby Miller last year, but I just told her that this is her season, and she's doing all right coming into that that position there. I thought she handled that well, and we'll keep improving on our passing, which will help our setting and hitting overall. So there's some promising stuff that's going to be happening here this season, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Coach, you guys today already on the road and heading to Ankeny Centennial. You open up with Ankeny Centennial in the tournament this morning. They're ranked number 2 in Class 5A, so you guys like to play highly ranked teams, the way it sounds here early in the season. But what does your pool look like, and what's the tournament look like for you guys today?
Yeah, it's a 16-team tournament, which is awesome. We open up in our pool, though, with Ankeny, then Nevada, and Mason City. So, yeah, we're playing tough right away from the beginning, and it's going to be good for us to see what we can do, play against good teams, see what they do, get the tempo of the game, go fast. And I just think it's going to be a good it's a challenge for us, but I think we're up for it, and I think we can take a few teams out of there. And then there's a championship tournament after that, after pool play, so we're going to get a lot of opportunity to play on Saturday.
Absolutely. Great way to start the season, Coach. I know not the way you wanted to start on Thursday, but things will be much better today. We appreciate you joining us here, and we wish you the best of luck and look forward to finding out from you a little bit later on today how things went.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Head Coach Kelly Schultz again with the Carroll Tigers. We'll be back. More from MCs coming up next here on 1380 KCIM.
Hi, this is Mark of MC's Country Cafe. I've had the privilege of serving this area homemade comfort food for over 20 years. I would like to thank everyone who's helped in making my vision a success. MC's Country Cafe has had a full menu of delicious homemade meals for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You'll always receive fast, friendly service. Stop in and experience that old-fashioned comfort food or order breakfast any time of the day. MC's Country Cafe, no gimmicks, just good food. Located Highway 30 East.
We're back here at the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show, talking a little cross country right now with Kemper head coach Keith Henderson. And Coach, appreciate you joining us here today.
Well, thanks for having me again, Jeff.
Absolutely. Coach, you guys got your season underway on Thursday night. You headed over to Gilbert, and both the girls and boys ran, and it was a pretty good night, I think, to run. Weather was pretty comfortable anyway.
Yes, it was. It was a lot better than it has been the last 2 years, even though it's a different meet. Last year it was really wet and sloppy on the grounds, and this year it was kind of dry. There were a few spots where back in the woods the rain had not, or the ground had not yet dried up. There was just a few wet spots, but it didn't seem to bother anybody.
Is this course set up pretty well for you guys?
I think so. We've been running, more hill work and sprinting work this year, and I think it's helped a lot in the beginning of the season. Instead of spending so much time, going out and running distances, we've been kind of alternating between distances and sprinting. And I think it fit us pretty good, and I thought the kids responded real well with their times and efforts.
Let's talk a little bit about the boys first here. You guys ended up 7th overall, 185 points, so a very strong field. That's why you head over there, I think, to run. But Ben Grody, a great start, finished up 5th for you.
Yes, he did. He ran very well. We knew he was going to be good, but we just didn't know how good. You run with your team, practice with your team all the time, and you're always out front, and nobody's really there to push you. But he, got out with that lead group, and we checked a couple times. He was hanging around that fifth or sixth or seventh spot, and the next time you checked, he was, you know, hanging in that fourth and fifth spot and coming down the chute. It was, there were two guys in front of him and two behind him, and he wasn't going to let the two behind him catch him, and he was trying to catch the front two and still end up with the fifth place and had a very good effort.
Is that pretty good, 17.55? What was he hoping as far as a time going in?
You know, I never ask him what their goal is. I'll tell him the night before, you know, whatever your goal is, write it on a piece of paper, put it in your shoe, and you'll know if you made that goal because you've got it with you all the time. You can think about it when you think you're, you know, pulling yourself down and not performing as well. And I think he may have met his goal. I think he wanted to run under 18 minutes. If it didn't, he's very well pleased with his effort and time from last night.
Well, I was going to say should be as well. I don't think I could run a mile in 18 minutes, let alone as far as he did last night. But Jared Tigas, also a good run for you guys last night. He just seems to be steadily getting better year after year.
Well, he's getting a little bit stronger. You know, he's grown up height-wise, and,
yep.
And the body is catching up with the bones now. And I know earlier in the week he said, what do you want me to run? I said, I'd like you to run, you know, under 18 minutes, you know, really putting pressure on him. He said, how about under 20? I said, I'll take under 20 minutes for the first meet. And I think he ran 19.34, 19.35, and ended up 27th. And he had some kids at the end chasing him, and that's what we've been kind of working on earlier is you're coming down the chute, you don't want to get passed, and if you do, it's not because of lack of effort. It's because they're just a faster runner, and we've been working on the sprint part of it.
Coach, as far as the rest of the team, you had Tyler Putney, Reed Rawlings, Brennan Bach, and Jack Hagen were either your top four finishers after Jared and after Ben. How did you feel like the rest of the team ran, and who maybe kind of stood out to you a little bit?
Well, the two that stood out to me were the two freshmen, Tyler Putney and Jack Hagen. You know, with Chandler being Jack's brother, there's kind of some pressure on him. Not that we put any pressure on him, because I told him, I said, I'm never going to compare you to Chandler. You're your own person, and you will make, you know, what you are of yourself. But Tyler's not, you know, very statured. He's not a very tall person. He's got quick little legs, and they just fly out there. And I thought he ran well. I was impressed with him, impressed with Jack Hagen. Jared Cheney finished, I think, 10th for us, and I was impressed with him. And anybody that ran well put in a good effort. I never tell a kid, you know, boy, you didn't run very well today here. You know, you got to pick it up. I always tell them after a meet, you know, congratulations, you finished the meet. That was your goal. Now, next week when we run at Dallas Center Grimes, you're going to improve that time and place and just keep getting better and better.
Coach, let's jump over here to the girls as well. They ran last night as well. Also finished in seventh place, 218 points. And Olivia Klein, who kind of became the leader for the girls last year, continued to show that last night, finishing 19th overall in a time of 23:17. A pretty good run for her.
Yes, it was. She got out quick, and you know, she pushes herself real hard because she wants to maintain that number one runner. And during practice, Lauren Tigran has been running with her, and Olivia's been kind of, well, I'm not doing very well because she's staying with me, and I'm saying, no, she's running hard trying to stay with you, which is pushing you, which is good for both of you. But Olivia just has that heart that she's going to go out and do the best she can. You know, she may stumble and fall and get back up, and she's going to give her every ounce of effort that she has to perform what she wants to do.
You mentioned Olivia and then Lauren. Lauren last night, 24:45, finished 34th. A good run for her, and then talk about the other girls that finished for you last night and how you felt they did.
Yeah, Lauren ran good. She tries to stay with Olivia. She does in practice all the time, and she just pushes herself to do that. And a time of 24:45, which was not a bad time for her. And then we had Abby Oberding, our senior on the team, come in at 51st place. She's been pushing herself real hard. And then we dropped down to Brandy Ashide and Chloe Grody and Annie Steffes and Paige Higby, who are basically running for the first time. Brandy was out as a freshman, and so was Annie, but Chloe and Paige is their first time out. Chloe's a junior. They're both learning, you know, how to run a race, what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are and what we have to work on. And they go out like everybody else. You know, we just push each other hard. That's what they do in the meets, and that's all we can ask is just give me your best effort, and we'll go from there.
Coach, you mentioned Dallas Center Grimes meet coming up next week. What's the course look like for you guys?
If they run where they have the last couple of years, it's relatively flat. We run around the middle school area.
I was going to say, that's where it's scheduled as far as I understand.
Yeah, around the middle school area, and then they go out past the baseball, softball complexes. I think there's one little hill, and it's not a little hill, it's kind of a knoll. So it's going to be more of a speed course, so that's going to kind of test us on how fast we are speed-wise as opposed to, you know, up and down in hills and around corners and things like that. So it should be an interesting race for us.
Well, I tell you what, appreciate you joining me here today. Congratulations on Thursday. I look forward to catching up with you throughout the season.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
You bet. Head coach Keith Henderson again with the Kuemper Cross Country team. We'll be back on 1380 KCIM next.
Only 0.5% of all high school student athletes play basketball in college, but all 100% of them become adults. That's why playing basketball in their high school team is so important. High school athletes learn life lessons that help them grow up, lessons that can't be taught in the classroom and often aren't taught at home. This message presented by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Iowa High School Athletic Directors Association.
We're back here at the MC Country Cafe Coach's Show. Jeff Blankman talking right now with the Carroll Girls Head Swimming Coach, Deb Dander. And Deb, good to talk to you again. It's been about 6 months since the boys' season ended.
Yeah, it has been a while. Time does fly, though, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
It does. I do remember when I asked you at the end of last season back in March, you know, if you were going to get a little bit of a break. You said, no, there's summer swimming. So how did summer swimming go?
Really good. You know, we got some kids swimming USA, and they did fantastic this summer. We had some younger girls that just totally blew people away in the pool. It was really fun to watch. So, yeah, it was a good summer.
How much do you think that'll benefit some of those younger kids as they get into high school and get ready for, like, this year's season?
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be great. It'll be, and they will be fantastic by the time they hit high school. Most high school kids, they are swimming year-round. They swim USA anyway. So, it'll be nice to start moving those kids up.
Let's talk a little bit about that high school team this year. What do your numbers look like? How many kids out?
Well, let's see. We're up to 25. We got a big team this year.
Gotta like that. Gives you a lot of options. Is it mixed in pretty well with the grades, or is it senior, freshman, junior dominated?
No, you know what? It's pretty even all the way through. I have like five freshmen, five seniors. You know, it's pretty even all the way through. So, you know, it'll be nice. We got some strength all the way through for 4 years.
Who are some of the kids out this year? What do you think? I know that it's early. We haven't had a meet yet, but what do you think the team is going to look like this year? And who are some of the kids that may be in some of the events?
Oh, you know, we're going to look good this year. We've got a few girls that did some USA swimming, so they are still in shape and ready to go. You know, so that's going to be fantastic. You know, they'll be ready, and you know, we got a few others that seem to be able to just get bounce right back into it pretty quick, so that's always nice. You know, we got Megan Yukina, our breaststroker. You have Casey Helbers, our butterflyer. Abby Streeter is a freestyler. Yeah, we got some great swimmers. Emily and Taylor are backstrokers. I think we're going to do very well, and they're very determined to get to state this year. So we're just going to work hard, and we'll get there.
With the depth and 25 kids out, does that bode well, not just for the individual events, but for relays and stuff?
Oh, definitely, because, you know, you got a lot more to play with. You know, if you got a kid coming right out of an event, you don't have to put them in the relay. You know, I have enough depth that I can bring somebody else into the relay, somebody who will be fresh. So, yeah, it's nice. You know, it's nice having the depth. It's tough in the water. It's tough at practice. It's crowded. But at a meet, it's going to be fantastic.
How have practices been going so far, and what have you guys been focusing on?
Yeah, we're doing a lots and lots of sprints right now, just kind of getting back into condition. You know, doing a few time trials, just kind of see where our times are sitting. And, you know, we got a lot of girls that are sitting right where they left off last year. So, you know, it's just going to get better from there.
I know it's early in the season and the times will get better, but with the first meet coming up next week at Lewis Central, what kind of times are you hoping to see here early in the year from the different events and from the different kids?
Yeah, if we can swim within a second and a half of our best from last year, I think things will be really, it'll really look good. You know, Lewis Central is a really tough team, and they're going to push us, and they're going to make us from our best. So I see that happening.
Deb, most of the years this team kind of made up of kids from around the area. I know the Yukonan name's a South Central Calhoun name. Some of the others that you've thrown out were names from, Carroll and Kemper. I think you maybe have an East Sac kid on in the past, but this team's been spread out before. Guthrie Center, Panorama, Audubon has had kids on here. How many different school districts are represented this year with the team?
I think we're seven. Let's see. We have Icahn Manning, Denison, East Sac, South Calhoun, Glidden, Kemper, and Carroll. Oh, and Guthrie Center.
And Guthrie Center. So with some of those kids having long drives, how does that work with practice so far?
So far, so good. Now that school has started, we're going to run into a few bumps along the way. Our Guthrie Center girls have a harder time getting here, with classes running a little bit later for them, but we make it work.
Coach, Lewis Central next Thursday, they're always a strong team. What's that meet going to look like? What are your expectations going into it?
Well, the girls, they got to swim their best, and they will. I don't see a problem with that. They'll swim the best they can, but they got to remember they're going up against a team that had quite a few state qualifiers. And it's going to be a little intimidating, but we got to remember we have to do our own swimming. We have to swim our own times and improve on those. And by the end of the season, who knows, we'll have the state qualifiers.
And I was going to say, Coach, the weird thing is sometimes you don't think about it, but sometimes the pool, the surroundings can affect how a kid swims. Does the arena you guys going to be in, does that pool fit you guys pretty well? The girls pretty comfortable?
So everyone calls it the penguin pool because we are behind glass. We're like in a cage.
Okay.
The whole audience is the audience is behind glass. So there is no cheering, other than the girls cheering for each other. I mean, there is no audience cheering. You just feel kind of like you're on display there. It does kind of affect it a little bit. The girls, we try and just make light of it as best we can. Like I said, we call it the penguin pool. It does make a difference when you don't have the crowd cheering. They do look forward to that.
Well, I tell you what, Deb, I'm looking forward to getting the season going. Next week, we'll be able to talk about some actual meets. Certainly appreciate you joining us here today to be able to preview the show and look forward to the season.
You bet. Thanks.
Head coach Deb Dander again with the Carroll Tiger girls swim team. We'll be back. Wrap up the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show next here on 1380 KCIM.
See? You're not the worst trumpet player in the world.
Thanks, Dad.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We welcome you back here to the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show. Jeff Blankman wrapping things up for today. I want to thank all of the coaches for joining me here this morning. We, of course, talked to Danny McCartan from the Carroll Tigers. Big night for the Tigers last night. Again, they roll up at South Central Calhoun, winning that game 56-20. Again, that was a 21-20 game at the halftime. And again, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast of that ball game from last night, available online at 1380kcim.com. We also talked with Chad Klein. The Knights pitch a shutout last night. Great defensive effort as they cruise by Greene County 34-0. Miles Ruppiper with a big night offensively. You can also find the podcast of that football game on the website at 1380kcim.com. The other game you can find from last night, it was another thriller down in Manning. Icahn Manning edges past East Sac County 20-14. The final score there. Wolves would take the the lead for good about the 9-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Withstood a couple of attempts from Esack County as they got into Wolf territory a couple of times, but Ikea Manning held on for that 20-14 victory. Other local scores from last night, all in 8-man. It was number one, Arweva, shooting themselves in the foot a little bit last night. Fumbled inside the 5, had a couple of potential touchdown passes dropped. Just didn't quite execute the way that I know they wanted to and will probably do the rest of the year. They fall at Remsen St. Mary's by a final of 40-31. Audubon Wheelers played well last night as they roll again against Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton, picking up a 38-32 victory in their first ever 8-man game against their big rival. They jumped out early in that game and then kind of held on as Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton battled back, but a very, very good win for the Wheelers. I think they wanted to find out how they were going to fit in 8-man football. They took on one of the best programs in 8-man football over the last decade or so and picked up that win on the road, so that says a lot about the Wheeler Ball Club. Coon Rapids Baird, we knew there was going to be some frustration down in the Crusader land with them not being ranked coming into the season. This is a team that many thought would be good enough to win a very, very tough district. And last night they had to go up to Newell Fonda, who's one of the premier programs in all of 8-man football. And Coon Rapids Baird jumped on them early, led at 1:35-20. They cruised to a 49-26 victory. Two different guys running for over 200 yards last night, Brandon Riley and Sam Obert, those two guys. Look for those guys along with Brody Schlepp and some of the other young guys that they've got down there to have huge football seasons for them this year. Glidden Ralston, a tough one last night, a shocker. Not that they lost simply because Grettinger Terrell liked them. Grettinger Terrell Roof and Ayshire is an outstanding program, but the fact that they got beaten thoroughly last night, they fall in their season opener on the road. 52-12 was that final score. So again, those are some of the football scores from last night. The other people that we want to thank for joining us down at the MC Country Cafe Coach Show, of course, Keith Stickrod, the head volleyball coach for the Kemper Knights. Again, they picked up a victory on Thursday night as they downed the Carroll Tigers. We also talked with Kelly Schultz, of course, of the Carroll Tigers about that loss. Tigers back in action today. They are up at Ankeny Centennial. They're at the Ankeny Centennial Invitational. They actually get their first match of that tournament underway today in their pool. They were one of the teams scheduled to play right away at 9 o'clock this morning. They will play Ankeny Centennial. They then get, I think, a 2-game break, if I understand correct, before they get back to action with the rest of their tournament trail. Carroll will be back in action again coming up on Tuesday night as well, as Carroll going to be at South Central Calhoun. I'll have that broadcast for everybody on 93.7 KKRL coming up on Tuesday night. So again, the Tigers play Thursday, Saturday, and Tuesday of this pretty much opening week of the season for Kemper. They're not in action until Thursday of next week as they take on Red Oak down at Red Oak. That'll be an interesting one for them, but it looks like the Knights are going to be as good as everybody thought. We also talked, as you just heard here a moment ago, with Deb Danner of the Carroll girls swim team. We want to thank her for coming in. Again, the Tiger swim team going to be getting their actual season underway Thursday as they head down to Council Bluffs to take on what sounds like a very good Lewis Central program. And the final coach to join us here today was Keith Henderson from the cross country team. They opened up at Gilbert on Thursday night. Ben Grody, the top finisher for the Kemper boys. Olivia Klein was the top finisher for the Kemper girls. Both of them running good times. Grody finishing again in fifth place. And I know that was something that he kind of had a goal to do. So congratulations goes out to him. Kemper will be back in action coming up again. Three volleyball tournaments going on around the area tonight. Today, I should say, involving the area teams. I told you here a moment ago, Carroll was at the Ankeny Centennial Invitational. Danny Flashinger, the new head coach at South Central Calhoun, has got her Titan team led by Allison Burks and Taylor Anderson. They're up at Humboldt today at that Invitational. That starts at 9. Also starting at 9 o'clock today, ESAC at Harlan. Taking a quick peek at our broadcast schedule for next week. Again, on Tuesday, we'll have the Carroll South Central Calhoun volleyball match on 93.7 KKRL. On Thursday, I'll be down in Coon Rapids as the Crusaders are going to be hosting our Weva, and I'll have that one for everybody on Kick 106.7. That'll start at around 7:15. Football schedule next week. The Carroll Tigers are going to be hosting Helan. Tom Honkapp will have that call on 1380 KCI and pregame at 7, kickoff at 7:30. Nick Brinks will be down with Kemper at St. Albert, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock on Kick 106.7. I'm going to be back up in Lake City, South Central Calhoun, hosting IKM Manning. I'll have that broadcast for everybody on 93.7 KKRL, pregame again at 6:30 with a kickoff at 7 o'clock. Other football coming up on Friday night, ESAC hosts Dennis and Schleswig. Our Weva home to Clay Central Everly. Audubon entertains Caminita. It is Coon Rapids Baird hosting Colonesco, and Glidden Ralston is well on the road at Newell Fonda. So that's a quick peek at what's going on next week. Do want to remind you, if you missed the debut of the Mackey Motors Friday scoreboard show, you can find it podcasted. Just go to 1380kcim.com, go to the podcast center. And that show podcasted last night, just under a two-hour program, about an hour and 40 minutes. We talked about all of the local games last night, interviewed the area football coaches, so you can find that available for you on the website. We also have the live video of that Kemper football game with Greene County, that available on the website as well. I'm going to be heading down to Harlan here in a few minutes to get some coverage of the ESAC volleyball team again at the tournament down in Harlan. And again, we thank MCs for hosting the MC Country Cafe Coaches Show. We wish everybody a great and a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you again coming up on Monday.